this evening. Let us worship the Lord together in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thou indeed art a safe retreat where weary souls in troublous times may surely rest. And our times are troublous indeed. Our times are times of great upheaval. Our times in the midst of society today are times of great upheaval, as the whole world and the governments of the world change and take measures that were unheard of over the whole world in days gone by, and measures that cause great trouble and concern among all men. And our times are troublous in the church as well. That is, in the times of the church. For there is great apostasy and departure from thy word and from thy truth. Apostasy that to us is astounding and unimaginable. And yet apostasy that is racing forward. And we confess that we too, Father, except for thy preserving and saving grace, would be of all men the most apostate and would run furthest from thy truth. For thy truth does not give any place to our flesh and does not give any glory to man, but makes of man nothing. And we hate it by nature. We hate it. And the false church hates it, that man is nothing. And the world hates it, that man is nothing. And all men will allow the church to exist and to gather and to speak as long as that church gives man his due and man his place. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and man is made to be nothing, and thou, our God, art made to be everything, then no man can take it. Our times are troublous also, Father, in the afflictions that thou dost lay upon us in thy sovereign providence and according to thy good pleasure. And we thank thee, Father, that in all these times we may confess that they are in thy hand. Our times are in thy hand, and thou hast made all our times and determined and decreed all our times exactly according to thy good pleasure and according to thy everlasting will, for the glory of thy name and for the revelation of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And so we thank thee, Father, that in these times of trouble we may find thee to be a strong refuge for the oppressed and a safe retreat where weary souls in troublous times may surely rest. We pray that thou wilt comfort the Milker family and all of the relatives with that truth in these days, as the widow in this week lays her husband to rest, and as other family members have traveled there for the funeral services. We pray, Father, that thou wilt also be with Reverend Vanderwall as he conducts those services. Wilt thou give to him a word in season of comfort for thy people. We pray that thou wilt remember us in all of our afflictions and sorrows, that as we face the last enemy, death, we may not face that enemy with despair, but with the hope and the faith of those who know him who is the life, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ, and who, as our Savior and Mediator and as our Head, has already himself entered into our death and taken all of its curse and therefore all of its sting away, and has turned that death into a servant for us to bring us unto himself. We pray, Father, that this gospel truth of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection may be of great comfort to thy people in these days. We pray that thou wilt remember the fellowship, the small group in Redlands, as they also mourn the loss of a father in Israel. We pray that thou wilt give to them comfort and hope, so that in these days when they are in between, in these days when they look for the oversight of a consistory, and in these days when they hope for and beseech thee for the institution of a congregation, if that be thy will, that in these days they may not be overthrown, but may be established and settled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt remember the other congregations and the denomination as well. Be with Second. Wilt thou give unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal life? Wilt thou remember their pastor, that thou wilt sustain him in his own afflictions? We thank thee, Father, for the measure of strength that thou dost give him week by week, so that the gospel may sound forth with power, and the word may be rightly divided, and the comfort and hope of Jesus Christ may be given to the flock. Wilt thou continue to sustain him and give to him health and strength according to thy perfect will. We pray that thou wilt remember Sovereign, RPC, give unto them all that they stand in need of. Wilt thou bless the office bearers, bless the members. Wilt thou grant that as they join tonight with us again in worship, that even though we as two congregations in two different places, that we may nevertheless be joined in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the faith of our Savior. Wilt thou remember Cornerstone? Give unto her all that she stands in need of. Remember thy saints in that nation, upon our own continent, but with their own afflictions and their own trials. Wilt thou remember them for good in thy mercy, and give unto them rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wilt thou be with the saints in Edmonton as they anticipate the next step for them as a congregation? We thank thee for the decision of their council and of their congregation to seek affiliation and membership and federation in the Reformed Protestant churches. Wilt thou give unto them a clear pathway unto that? We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause that they may be a blessing unto the denomination as they hold and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we also might be for their edification and for their good. Father, thou dost open to us the windows of heaven. Thou dost cause all of the blessings of salvation to descend upon us. Thou dost continue to gather us, one of a city and two of a family. We pray that thou wilt continue, Father, by thy grace, to look upon us. Remember also the saints in the Philippines. Be with Reverend Flores. Wilt thou remember also the seminary students? Be with the office bearers in the great, great busyness, the almost unimaginable busyness of the office bearers caring for the needs of their own flock, and then also for the needs of thy saints on the mission fields in various places. We pray that thou wilt sustain them, giving to them even the physical stamina and strength that is necessary. But above all, Father, wilt thou continue to give them the gospel. We pray that thou wilt bless the cause of seminary instruction, both there and here, that men may be prepared for the ministry of the gospel. How the fields are white unto harvest, and how we see the need for ministers of the gospel. Prepare men who know the gospel in their own hearts, who believe that gospel, and who can do nothing else than proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," and who find that woe is unto them if they proclaim not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt raise up more men for that work as well, according to thy sovereign will and good pleasure. We thank thee also, Father, for the school that thou hast given to us, and wilt thou continue to bless and keep Grace Reformed Protestant School. We thank thee, Father, for the teachers who will give their lives away to stand in the place of parents and to educate in all of the subjects according to the light of thy word. We pray that thou wilt sustain the teachers for that task, and wilt thou give them all that they stand in need of. We pray that thou wilt remember the board also. Wilt thou keep the board in these days? Give unto them the strength that they need for all the decisions that they make with regard to the school. We pray, Father, that thou wilt encourage them in their work upon the scriptures and the truth. We pray for the association. Wilt thou remember the association for good, and wilt thou continue to bless her? We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given to us in this place at this time what is almost unimaginable, that thou hast given us a Christian school in which the children of the covenant may be instructed according to the demands of the covenant. Father, wilt thou continue to bless and keep the school. And remember our children. Wilt thou give unto them all that they stand in need of. As we bring them up in the fear of thy name, we confess, Father, we confess before thee as parents, we confess before thee as a congregation, we confess before thee that the task of rearing children is so far beyond what we are capable of in ourselves that it must be a work of thine. We thank thee that we may rest in the gospel that children are thy heritage and the fruit of the womb is thy reward, so that we may rest in the knowledge that our children are safe in the arms of their Savior, even as many as thou hast called. We pray that thou wilt remember the cause of the gospel wherever it goes forth over the length and breadth of the earth, by the preaching of the gospel especially, also by the printed page, also by lectures and doctrine classes and other means. We pray, Father, that thou wilt bless the cause of the gospel and cause the name of Christ to be exalted and the name of man to be abased, that all glory and honor be ascribed unto thee and none unto man. May the confession of thy church be, the world over, salvation is of the Lord. Now forgive our sins, wash them away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Wilt thou assure us by the gospel that we are forgiven, and wilt thou keep us from sin, that in gratitude we may love thee and love our neighbor. Hear our prayer, Father, and answer us in thy mercy, for we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the building fund, and the second is for Grace Reformed Protestant School. Psalter number 31. Number 31. The fourth commandment deals with rest. We sing of that ultimate rest in stanza 7. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then I shall be satisfied. Stanzas 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7. 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7 of 31.
Thank you.
turn in the Word of God tonight to three passages. First, Exodus 20. Exodus 20, then Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, and then Matthew 11. Matthew 11. We begin in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Next, Deuteronomy 5, and the second giving, or the repetition of the law, and the fourth commandment in verses 12 through 15. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And then finally, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The words of Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. On the basis of those passages and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38. Question 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Heidelberg Catechism takes us tonight to the fourth commandment of the law of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, on which thou shalt not labor. The fourth commandment is the commandment regarding the Sabbath day of rest. The fourth commandment has good application for the Church of Jesus Christ at the occasion of an applicatory sermon after the Lord's Supper. The fourth commandment mentions the sacraments explicitly and says that part of keeping the fourth commandment is to diligently frequent the house of God, to use the sacraments. The Lord brought us to his house this morning to use the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And therefore, this evening, we hear the law of God regarding the keeping of the Sabbath day. The fourth commandment also has good application for the Church of Jesus Christ at the occasion of the Lord's Supper, because the fourth commandment is about rest. It is about the Sabbath. And the child of God, having tasted and eaten and drunk the Lord Jesus Christ, has rest. That's all his rest. That's his only rest. Jesus Christ is his rest. Rest that was eternally prepared. Rest that was eternally decreed. Rest that, in a sense, was eternally accomplished in the ordination of the Lamb, the foreordination of the Lamb, who was slain before the foundation of the world. And rest which therefore Jehovah God brings us into inevitably by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is rest and peace for the child of God in this truth of the Sabbath day, in this truth of the gospel of rest in Jesus Christ. And so we hear tonight this commandment of God under the theme, the fourth commandment. In the first place, consider Sabbath rest. In the second place, what is forbidden. And in the second place, what is required. The fourth commandment, Sabbath rest, what is forbidden, and what is required. The fourth commandment deals with rest. And it deals with rest when it speaks of the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word Sabbath means rest. So that remembering the Sabbath day means remembering the day of rest that the Lord has appointed. The fourth commandment is about rest. It is about rest in the sense of relief. That's what your rest is. And that's what my rest is. It's relief. Relief from the burdens that belong to this life. Relief from sin. Relief from guilt. Relief from bondage. That's your rest. It's rest in the sense of relief. It's rest in the sense of peace. And a quiet mind and a quiet heart over against all the noise of the enemy who attacks your rest and who would steal away your rest. Rest is peace over against all that noise of the enemy. The fourth commandment is about that rest, that relief, that peace, that quiet. That's rest. And the most important thing that you must know about that rest tonight is that that rest is a gift to you. It's a gift to you. Rest, in the sense of relief, in the sense of peace, must be given. It must be given. There's no other way to have that rest but as a gift of the grace of God. There is no amount of work that you can do to obtain that rest. And there is no amount of things you can do in putting away work or having a list of rules of things not to do that can bring you this rest. This rest is not found in how much you do or in how much you refrain from doing things. That is, in putting away your work and all those other things, your rest, your relief, your peace is a gift to you. Your rest is gracious. God gives it to you as a gift. That's the most important thing that you must know about your rest tonight. And that means that your rest is not found in a long list of what you may do on Sunday and what you may not do on Sunday. That's not your rest. Your rest is the gift of the grace of God to you. It's relief from all your burden, and it's peace and a quiet mind with Jehovah God through Jesus Christ. That's your rest. It's a gift. And that's because of what rest essentially is. Rest essentially is fellowship with God. Rest essentially is dwelling with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest essentially is being a part of God's family. There's relief. There's relief for you and for me in the midst of this veil of tears. There's relief for you in all your dying, all the weakness of your flesh and mind, and all of your weariness. The relief for you is this: but God is my God, and I am his child, and I belong to his family, and I have fellowship with him, and he comes to abide with me, and he communes with me, and he gives himself to me, he speaks to me, and he gives me the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's my rest. That's peace of mind for me. That's my quietness. And that's reflected in what the fourth commandment says in Exodus 20, in that giving of the commandment, where God grounds the fourth commandment in his own rest on the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days God labored. In 6 days God made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, but rested the seventh day. And what was that rest of the seventh day for God? But his living in his own covenant fellowship as the triune God, and of bringing Adam and Eve into his own fellowship. They were made the sixth day of creation, so that the first full day of existence for them, the first full day of their life on earth, was the seventh Sabbath day of rest. There's the rest of the child of God, to live with God, to abide with him, to walk with him, to talk with him. That's relief for the child of God. That's rest for the child of God. That's the essence of rest. It's covenant fellowship and communion with the triune God in Jesus Christ. And that matter of in Jesus Christ is also prominent in this matter of rest. The only way to have that rest is through Jesus Christ. There is no other rest with God. There is no fellowship with God except through Jesus Christ. And God indicated that in the giving of the law in Deuteronomy 5, where God said to his people regarding the Sabbath day, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Remember your bondage. Remember that you had no rest in that bondage. You were the slaves of Pharaoh, great type of sin. You were under his bondage and under his yoke, and I delivered you from it. I brought you out by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. And I brought you out of that bondage in sin through the blood of the Lamb who was foreordained. Through the blood of that Lamb that had its neck slit and its blood collected and its blood painted on your doors. Through that Lamb's blood, you came out of Egypt. And I did that. I'm the one who did that. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. And when I brought you out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb, I brought you right into my own house. I brought you to Mount Horeb, to Mount Sinai, which was the Mount of God. And then from Mount Horeb, I brought you into the land of Canaan, which was my special possession and which I gave to you. That was your deliverance. I brought you out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm through that blood of the covenant, through that blood of the foreordained Lamb. And I brought you to my own self. That's the rest of the child of God. That's how he has that rest. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers his sins and that removes all his burden of sin and guilt. That's rest. The essence of that rest is fellowship with God, with your God, who says to you, you're my people, and which rest you have and fellowship you have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, many enemies who would try to take that rest, that Sabbath rest, away from the people of God. Every enemy that would come to you and put a great yoke of bondage on your shoulders. Every enemy who would put a yoke of bondage on your shoulders is trying to take away your rest, is trying to take away the peace and the relief that God gives to his people in Christ. Sin is such an enemy, a tremendous enemy. For in sin, a great yoke of guilt lays on our shoulders and weighs us down. That great weight of guilt cannot be borne by any man, by any mere man. It's an iron yoke. It is a yoke of infinite weight. For even the smallest sin against Jehovah requires infinite punishment. Sin is the enemy that would rob you of your peace and lay on you the great iron yoke of guilt. So also is any false doctrine that makes the work of man and the labor of man to be his salvation, that makes that work and labor of man to be the thing in his salvation, the one thing that is needful in his salvation. The teaching that the work of man is meritorious is the doctrine of an enemy who would lay a great yoke upon the shoulders of the people of God so that they labor and they labor and they labor to do all that work, but they can never bear the weight of that yoke, of all of that labor. The false doctrine that would put the law of God upon the shoulders of the people of God as that which they must obey in order to be saved is that enemy that would rob the relief of God's people. For then the law becomes a hateful thing to them and a weight that they could never bear. The teaching that the call of the gospel the call of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins represents man's contribution to his salvation. That too is a great yoke that weighs heavily on the shoulders of the people of God. When that call of the gospel is made to be a command of the law to the people of God, that's the doctrine of an enemy. It's the doctrine of one who would come to you who have been redeemed in the blood of Christ and take away your relief and put you back under a yoke of bondage. That's so much the case that to those who say, you must believe, you must repent, the word that we say back is, no, you mustn't. No, you mustn't believe. No, you mustn't repent. You mustn't believe. You mustn't repent. I know what the call of the gospel is, and I know what it means. The call of the gospel certainly is, you must believe. The call of the gospel certainly is, you must repent. But the call of the gospel is never, you must. That's the law. That's the law. The call of the gospel is this, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who has come for the salvation of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ who has accomplished it all and who has said about everything that must be done for the salvation of his people, it is finished. It is finished. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the foreordained Lamb, who was slain from the foundation of the world, so that in the eternal counsel of God, the salvation of his people was accomplished and complete. That's the gospel. And the call of the gospel, then believe in him and repent of your sins, does not mean anything about you. It's not the law that's laid on your shoulders. But the whole meaning of that call, repent and believe, the whole meaning of it is Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And that's your relief. That's your peace. That the whole of your salvation is accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that your believing is the work of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit to you, to unite you to Christ, and who works in you that believing, and who works in you that repenting. That is the gospel, but not the law. You must. You must do this or that. What is the word of Christ about the yoke that's on your shoulders? What is the word of Christ about that yoke? Is the word of Christ about that yoke that there's a must? Is the word of Christ that that yoke is a law? The word of Christ about the yoke on your shoulders is this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give it to you. I will give it to you. That's the gospel. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke. And what is the yoke of Christ that's on your shoulders? That yoke of Christ is not another law. It's not a new law or a new form of the law. Jesus tells us what the yoke is in that very passage. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's the yoke. Learn of me. It's the gospel. That's the yoke on your shoulders. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's the truth of the Word of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That gospel good news of deliverance from sin and death and bondage through Jesus Christ. That's the yoke that rests upon our shoulders. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's light. That's a huge contrast to the yoke and bondage of the law. A huge contrast to the yoke and bondage of the guilt of sin, that iron, infinite weight. Every other yoke is a heavy, impossible weight. It's on our shoulders that brings us down and pushes us down, and that we cannot bear up under. But the yoke of Christ is the hands of God that comes down and takes hold of us and lifts us up to heaven. That's the yoke of Christ. That's the yoke of the gospel. It's a light yoke. It's an easy yoke. It's not a yoke that we die under and are crushed under, but it's a yoke that carries us right into heaven and all the blessings of salvation and everlasting life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me in my gospel, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's the rest of the child of God. That's the relief of the child of God, so that when every enemy comes and tries to steal away his rest, the child of God says, but you must take note of my yoke. You must take note of what's about my shoulders. It's the gospel of Christ, and it's already carried me into heaven. It's already carried me into all of the bliss of joys and glory. And I have a life to live here yet. I have a life on this earth yet. But the yoke of Christ is already on me, which is light and easy, and not that yoke that you would try to give to me. Now, I've asked you this question a dozen times, but I'm going to ask you again. What does that doctrine do to you? What does that doctrine do to what you want to do with your life? What you want to do before the face of your God? Does that doctrine of the yoke of Christ, that doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ that covers all your sins, does that make you want to leave here and be like the devil? Does that doctrine make you want to live careless and profane? Does that doctrine make you a stock and a block? Is that what that doctrine does? It's impossible. That's impossible that that's what that doctrine would do. Why? Because that doctrine is your liberty. It's your freedom. In that doctrine, you are set free from your sin. In that doctrine, you're set free from every yoke of oppression. In that doctrine, you are set free to serve God, set free so that all your obedience is not a matter of what you must do in order to finally come into heaven. But all of that doctrine is a matter of Christ, 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 and what He has done that you may come into heaven. That sets you free. That's your liberty. And it's impossible that that doctrine ever make you careless and profane. Oh, your flesh is careless, and mine. Your flesh is profane, and it always will be, and mine. But when that doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed to the church of Jesus Christ, the people of God don't say, "Now I may do what I please." But the people of God say, "Tell us what thou dost please, And we will do it in gratitude for this yoke of Christ and this gospel of our salvation. That's the truth of Sabbath rest. That's the truth that you have on the Sabbath day as you come into the house of rest of Jehovah God. And He comes right here to you and gives to you the body and blood of the Lord in the sacrament, and gives to you the gospel of peace and relief and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you have on this Sabbath day. That's the truth of Sabbath rest. And now, as the response to that gospel comes our obedience by the grace of God to the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Let us see now what is forbidden in the fourth commandment. Let us see, according to the Reformed faith, what is forbidden. What now, according to the Reformed faith, is forbidden? Lord's Day 38 has almost nothing to say about what is forbidden. Implied are some things. But Lord's Day 38 does not give a long list of requirements of what is forbidden. The fourth commandment says, "Thou shalt not labor on this day." Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work. Do not work. That's what's forbidden. So on the Sabbath day, don't gather your manna. You may eat your manna. You may go to the vessel where your manna is, and you may prepare your manna, and you may eat your manna. Don't gather your manna. Don't harvest your field. You may go through that field and take the grain and rub it between your hands to take off the chaff and eat it, but don't harvest your fields. Don't do your pleasure on the Lord's day. The day is not your day, not my day, it's the Lord's day. Don't do your delight, but the Lord's delight on the Lord's day. The Reformed faith, as it sets forth what is forbidden, does not give a long list. It does not say here and here and here and line upon line and rule upon rule is how you'll keep the Sabbath day. There were those who had line upon line and rule upon rule about how to keep the Sabbath day. They were the scribes and the Pharisees, so that you couldn't even take the grain in your hand as you walked through the field, and you couldn't walk more than a certain number of steps, and it was all law, and it was all yoke, and it was all the burden on the people of God, which the Pharisees imagined that they kept pretty well, perfectly in fact, but that no one else could keep. The Reformed view of the Sabbath day is not about a long list of legalistic rules about what is forbidden on the day. The law of the Sabbath day is this: God has given you Christ, and He has freed you from every yoke of oppression. Now rest. Rest in Him. And what is required in the fourth commandment is that the ministry of the gospel be maintained. The ministry of the gospel, because in that ministry of the gospel, we hear Jesus Christ, our Sabbath. We hear Him who is our rest and our peace and our relief before Jehovah God. There must be the ministry of the gospel. There must be the proclamation of the good news of rest in Jesus Christ. And so you see to it that you have a seminary and seminary instruction, and you see to it that you have students prepared for the ministry of the word, and you see to it, according to the sovereign providence and good pleasure of God, that you have ministers of the gospel and a ministry. The good news of salvation is the heart of that whole rest and the relief that we have in all that rest. That the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. The schools that are the Christian day schools, where subjects other than theology are taught, so that all of the school boys, some of whom may be ministers someday, can have instruction in all things in this world, in the light of the scriptures, that they might be prepared to go to war with all of the high-minded thoughts of the world that they have studied and know from their instruction. And so that all of the school girls and all of the school boys can think and read and understand and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, am required on the day of rest diligently to frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments publicly, to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Here is my life of gratitude for the rest that God has given me in Christ, that I come on the day of rest that the Lord has given me to His house where I may rest in His gospel as that word is proclaimed. There's the grateful life of the child of God. And secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. You see that? How does that sound to you? Does that sound too passive? It's very, very passive. Very passive. That statement in the Catechism is very passive. I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. The teaching here is that it is the Holy Spirit of Christ who gives to me all my obedience, all my works, and that all of that working is due to and because of the Holy Spirit. Not just the power to work, but the working is given me by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And mind you, we're not talking here about believing. We're not talking here about faith. That too is the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're talking here about the obedience of the child of God. We're talking here about the child of God's working to obey the law of God and keeping the law of God. We're talking about the child of God's active obedience. And the Catechism describes that active obedience in the most passive terms, that the Holy Spirit of the Lord gives this work in me. And that all my work is by His Holy Spirit, and only by His Holy Spirit. And that does not make man a stock in a block. It doesn't make him inactive. It doesn't deny his spiritual activity in the battle of faith that there is to strive to obey the law of God. But it says to the child of God, even that is no yoke on you. Even that is no yoke on you. That is some burden to crush you. Even that, working the obedience to the law is the work of the Holy Spirit that He gives to you. There is relief. Even in His obedience, there is relief for the child of God. The opening of his prison, the setting forth of him free, so that he leaves the house of God by the Holy Spirit of the Lord to obey the law in gratitude. Now that is as clear and as simple as I know how to proclaim to you the Sabbath rest of Christ. May that gospel give you Sabbath rest. And may that Sabbath rest be your delight. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Wilt thou bless it to our hearts and open our prison by it, and give to us freedom in Christ. By thy powerful, sovereign grace, wilt thou pick us up in that gospel and carry us into the joys of heaven, that we may already now in this life begin the eternal Sabbath. Forgive our sins, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake.